Right, and we're on. Okay, so we are back. I think this is sheer number 7 or 8. We're moving our way slowly through the beginnings of Boa Kamat. Last time we started to talk about a very important machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. And I'm already running out of battery. One sec. Just plug in. Yes. All right, sorry about that. So we are. We start to talk about a... machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. When we had our first, when we looked at the Mishnah right at the beginning, we listed Arba Avos Nezikin, these four head categories of damages, and one of them was a little bit more obtuse than the others, a bit more difficult to translate and to know what it meant, and that was Mav'er, right? So Mav'er, we weren't sure exactly what that meant, and now we've come to a point where we have this debate between Rav and Shmuel as to what exactly that word mean, or what is it referring to, which of the categories is it referring to? So I'll just do the beginning bit outside, just a recap outside. So Rav had said that it's referring to Adam, so it's referring to damages done by a person. And Shmuel said then, no, that Mav'er is referring to Shein, is referring to the damages done when an animal eats someone else's property or something along those lines. So that was the initial debate that we began to discuss. They each brought sort of proofs from the Torah, words that that shared this root of Bet Ayin Hey, and linking that either to Adam or to Shane, depending on their opinion, and then coming to a bit of a stalemate with regards to textual proofs. They then moved on to logical proofs. So they then began to, the Gemara then began to suggest what was the reasons why Rav didn't follow Shmuel's opinion, what was the reason that Shmuel didn't follow Rav's opinion. So we actually had begun to talk about, we started by talking about Rav, my time ala omak Shmuel. So what was the reason that Rav didn't follow Shmuel's opinion? And we suggested as follows. So that's a good place to start, actually. So that's 5 lines from the bottom of Gimel Amud Bet, 5 lines up. The first word on the line is Rav. And now we are talking about, as I said, now talking about logical proofs, logical reasons why Rav and Shmuel disagree. So what is the reason why Rav believes that his opinion is the correct one? Why didn't he follow Shmuel's opinion? And again, just to remind ourselves, Rav says that it's Adam, that it's talking about a person doing damage. Shmuel links quite nicely with their first letters. Shmuel says Shein, right? So Shmuel is the one who says that it was an animal eating. Okay, so Rav says, why don't we... Rav, my time ala omak Shmuel, what was the reason that Rav didn't follow Shmuel's opinion? Tana Shur, he says, the Mishnah said the word Shur, that was the first of the four head categories. Bechol mile de Shur, so that should include any damage done by an ox or done by an animal. So therefore... The shur should include Shein, and therefore Mav'er would be left free for something else. Must be that is referring to Adam, that's referring to human damages. But Shmuel nami hatana le shur. So then the Gemara responds, but surely Shmuel has that word in his Mishnah as well. So obviously he how does he translate that word, or why does he not think that Shein falls under the category of shur? So Omer of Yehuda tana shur lekarno. So he says that when the Mishnah uses the word shur, it's referring to keren and not to anything else. It's specifically that type of damage done with the horn of an animal or in a goring style, and therefore mav'er can refer to shein. So that's Shmuel's opinion. But again, that's going to leave us with some gaps, logical gaps, because if that's the case, so firstly we need to read that into the Mishnah, which is what the Mishnah is going to do, and then there's a third element to animal damages, which is regel, right, which seems to be left hanging as well. So we'll come back to that in a moment. But before we get to that, the Gemara is now rereading the Mishnah now that we can plug in these translations. So if you look back briefly at the Mishnah right at the beginning on Bet Amud Aleph, we listed the four categories, and then we continued on the second proper line of the Mishnah. Says Lo Hari Hashur Kahari Hamaveh. So Shur is different to Maveh, Lo Hari Hamaveh Kahari Hashur, and Maveh is different to Shur. Right. So each one has their own elements that the other one does not share. and therefore each is independent. But the Mishnah didn't explain what exactly that was, what exactly that meant. So the Gemara is now going to read extra words into that Mishnah, sort of add in, fill in the gaps. And based on Shmuel's opinion, we can now sort of fill in those gaps and figure out what are the differences between Shor and Maveh, right? What are the differences between Shor and Maveh? So now we're talking within the opinion of Shmuel, or within our current understanding of the opinion of Shmuel, which means that Shor is referring to Keren, referring to an animal goring, and Shein is referring to an animal eating. So what's the difference between those two? Why would I not have assumed, if the Torah would have taught me that an animal that gores is liable to pay, why would I not assume that an animal who eats, who damages by eating, is not liable to pay? Why not? And then the reverse. If the Torah would have simply told me that an animal who eats is liable to pay, why would I not have assumed that an animal who gores is liable to pay? So that's what the Gemara is basically going to do now. So that's what. So we'll go back again from towards the beginning of the third line up. Omar of Yehuda, Tana Shor LeKarno. Mav elashina. So as we said, Shor is referring to Keren, Mav is referring to Shein. V'hochi ka'omar, and this is what the Mishnah meant. This is how we can read the Mishnah filling in the gaps. Lo ri ha-keren, she'ein hana'a le'ezeko. So Keren, which has no benefit at all in its damage, kira'i ha-shein, she'yesh hana'a le'ezeko. It's not as dissimilar from Shein, which does have benefit from its damage. So Shein gets benefit, the animal gets benefit when it damages, and therefore perhaps one would have said that that was the reason why you're liable. You're liable to pay because the animal is getting damaged when it's paying. But with a Keren, it's not getting any benefit, and therefore it shouldn't be getting any, shouldn't be liable for any damages. Velori ha-Shein, she'ein kavanos el-hazik, and the Shein damage, if an animal eats, then it has no intention to cause damage. What's its intention? Its intention is simply to satisfy itself, to satiate itself, to enjoy the good berries that are on the bush, and therefore it's not intending to cause damage. So perhaps that's a reason why it wouldn't have necessarily been liable. Whereas an animal who gores, full intention is to cause damage. There's no other reason why it's charging at this other animal, and therefore that might have been a reason why we would have distinguished between the two. V'lav kal v'chomer, and therefore we cannot learn one from the other. V'lav kal v'chomer, right? V'lav kal v'chomer who finished, right? Sorry, that's a question. V'lav kal v'chomer hu. Okay, so just we'll just pause there for a moment. So as we said, so the Gemara's now reread parts of that part of the Mishnah and said that that each one is independent, and that is why we needed to have verses from the Torah for each one. That's why they're separate head categories. And again, seems to fit from the perspective at the moment, seems to fit to an extent with Shmuel's opinion that, or at least the way we're understanding Shmuel at the moment, that Shor is referring to an animal goring and Maveh is referring to an animal eating. They're two separate things and they need to be learned separately. V'lav kal v'chomer hu, the Gemara says, isn't that a kal v'chomer? Isn't that simply we have a lenient case and a strict case, not really lenient and strict, but one in which one is stronger than the other, right? So we should have learnt one from the other. Umash Shein, Shein Kavanos El Hazik, right? So this Gemara says, surely Shein, right, which had no intention of causing damage, is liable. Keren Shekavanos El Hazik, Lo Kol Shekain. Wouldn't we have said that an animal who gores, all the more so, they should have been liable? So say itzterich. No, we still needed to learn them separately. We still needed to have separate sources for them. Why? Salka daitach amina, because we might have thought midi dehava a eved va'amar, similar to what we have when it comes to the case of a not all intention is necessarily worse than or necessarily stricter in the eyes of the law than something else. And the Gemara brings a proof for that from the case of an Eved and an Amma. An Eved and Amma is a servant, right? Or a slave, you might call it. Not really quite like the slaves we understand, but again, something we don't encourage nowadays anyway. So Eved V'ama has a special leniency with regards to it, which is that if they cause intentional damage, right, then their owner is still not liable to pay. Still not liable to pay. So therefore, the Gemara wants to learn from there that since this Eved is causing intentional damage, yet the owner is not liable to pay, so too we might have thought that that any other property that the owner has, let's say an animal, right, is also causing intentional damage, then perhaps you wouldn't have been liable to pay either, or maybe you wouldn't have been liable to pay. So it's not necessarily, it's sort of trying to poke holes in the logic, but not such a good response, because in the Gemara notes that itself, right? Eved v'ama lav af al gav de kavanos en hazik. So we say, even though they have no intention, sorry, even though they do have intention to damage, afilu hachi patiri, as we just said, even though they have intention to damage, they're still not liable to pay. So hachanami, perhaps it would have been the same. Here too, with the animal, it would have been exactly the same. So now let's break that down. Loshna. Omar Rav Ashi. So Hachanami Loshna, excuse me. So here too would have been the same, wouldn't have been any different. So Omar Rav Ashi, Otu Eved V'ama, right? That's not a good comparison, because if you look at the case of this Eved causing intentional damage, Love Timer Rabba Ishbahu doesn't have a very good reason. You have a very good reason why the owner is not liable to pay when his servant causes intentional damage. Why? Because Shema Yakni Tenu Rabba, maybe the master will get upset, right? Will offend the servant. V'yelech v'yadlik gadisha shel chaver, and the servant thinks to himself, ah, I've got a good way to get back at him, right? I know that this owner is liable to pay for everything that I do, right? These, ultimately, I'm his responsibility, and therefore I'm going to go and set fire to his neighbor's field, and it's going to cause millions of pounds worth of damage, and he's going to have to pay for that because I was upset with him. V'nimtza zeh mechayves rabo me'amana v'cholyam. He could cause his owner to be liable for an enormous sum of money every single day. 100 monet is the currency the Gemara is choosing, or the Gemara was using at the time. And therefore, that's not a good comparison, because there's a specific reason why intentional damage was nevertheless not liable, right? Because in that case, he may choose to do it just to get back at the master. But an animal's not going to do that. An animal's not going to choose intentionally to go and damage just to get back at the master. And therefore, there's no reason to assume that Keren would not, that the fact that it's intentional damage would make it worse. Okay? Would make it worse. Ela parech. So rather, the Gemara, I'm just going to get to the end and then we'll try and sort of sum up and take questions if people are confused. But let's just try and keep this thread going for another few lines. Ela parich. Okay, it says my internet. Uh-huh. 1 second. I'm going to try and switch over the internet because I'm wondering if people can't hear me. Okay, hopefully that's better with the sound. Said it was struggling with the sound. All right, so Ela parich hachi. Lo ri'i hakeren shekavanoso lahazik. Kira'i Hashem, She'ein Kavanos Elahazik. Rather, it's the other way around. What the Mishnah was saying is that when an animal gores, right, and it has intention to damage, that's dissimilar from Shein, where the animal ate and had no intention to cause damage. But Lo'ri Hashem, She'yesh Hano Le'ezeko, and Shein, which had, which where the animal gains benefit, Kiri HaKeren, She'ein Hano Le'ezeko, is dissimilar from Keren, from an animal goring, where it didn't gain any benefit. I.e., each one seems to have a reason why we might distinguish logically between the two, and therefore ultimately both are required. So all we've really done here, even though it took us quite a while to do, all the Gemara has really done here is basically reread one line of the Mishnah, right? So it's gone back and reread one line of the Mishnah, plugging in our current understanding of Shmuel, which is that Shor is referring to Keren, referring to goring, and Maveh is referring to an animal eating. Okay, any questions before we go on? Okay, great. So that brings us more or less back to, I think, around, no, not quite back to where we got up to. Okay, we'll do another line. So the regular. But now there's a more significant problem with our current reading, which is that we've left out one third of the party, right? We know that when it comes to animal damages, we have been distinguishing between three types of animal damages: keren, regel, and shor. We're not just talking about goring and eating; we're also talking about trampling, or an animal sort of damaging something as it wanders along the street, and that seems to have been forgotten, right? The regel. My shire, right? Well, where's it gone? What have we done this? So the Gemara responds, Kesha Hizik Chov Hamazik, right? There was a catch-all that the Mishnah had. At the end, after the Mishnah had listed the four, so the Mishnah started, Shor, Bor, Mave, Heve, right? So it listed each of those. And once it had listed those, it says, finally, after it sort of went back and forth with a few of them, it says, let's just look it up. One second. What was the exact phraseology of the Mishnah? So he says, yes, each one is similar in the sense that Hatzad Hashaveh Shabahin, they're each similar because they have caused damage and you're responsible to look after them. And then the Gemara adds a line, Uchashahizik Chov Hamazik L'Shalem. And when a person, when these things cause damage, then the owner is liable to pay, right? The person who was responsible for the damage is liable to pay. So Kush, that catch-all that the Mishnah added in is there to include an extra category. So says the Gemara, that is where Regel falls in. Regel is sort of, is not specified. Shor was referring to an animal goring. Maveh is referring to an animal eating, and regel, right, an animal walking along and causing damage while it's walking, is simply included in the catch-all. So Gemara doesn't like that either, though. That's no good. So regel ma'ashari kashehizik chov hamazik. Why not? Sorry, la'asuyei regel. So says the Gemara, and that was to include regel. V'lisnei bahadei. It should have been taught on its own, right? So, again, whenever you have a general categories and specific categories, why would you leave this out of the specific one? So, regel should be mentioned in its own part of the Mishnah. So the Gemara doesn't like that. So therefore, right, should be taught on its own. Ella Omar Rava. So this is back to where we, I think, where we technically got up to last time. Ella Omar Rava. Tano Shor L'Raglo Umave L'Shino. So now we've switched it around. So we're now leaving out Keren, and we're going to reread the Mishnah, assuming that Shor is referring to Regel damages. It's not referring to Keren damages. We just spent time rereading the Mishnah, saying that when the Mishnah says the word Shor, again, this is all within the world of Shmuel. This is all within the world of Shmuel. We're going to get to Rav later on. Rav says Mave is referring to human damages. But within the world of Shmuel, that Shein means, or that Maveh means Shein, Maveh is talking about an animal eating. So what does the word Shor mean? If Maveh means an animal eating, what does the word Shor mean? So first we suggested that it means Keren, it means an animal goring. We knocked that out, we didn't like that, because it leaves out Regel, right? So now we're suggesting it means Regel. Ah, doesn't that leave out Keren? So we'll have to come back to that. We'll get back to that. Before we get back to that, let's just reread the Mishnah, plugging in the word Regel. Okay, clear so far? That's just trying to, as I said, map it out for what we're doing. Any questions? Pause. Okay. Fine. So we're now plugging in the word regel. Instead of the word shor, we're going to say the word regel. As I say, we're referring to an animal walking along and simply doing damage as it wanders along the road. It accidentally steps on someone's nice china plate. So where's that? Elam or Avatan Asher LeRaglo Mavelashina. So Vahochi Ka'omar Heikuf. Vav Heikuf is saying Vahochi Ka'omar. This is what the Mishnah meant. We're now about a third of the way down the page. Last word on the line is Ru'i. So Lo Ra'i. It's sort of near where Tosfos says Kesher Hizik. So near that big word Kesher Hizik in Tosfos. A couple of lines above that, we're up to Lo Ra'i. Lo Ra'i HaRegel Shehezeka Motsui. Kirei Hashain She'ein Hezeka Motsui. So now we've gone back to the Mishnah. That regel is dissimilar from shein. Why? Because regel is Hezeka Motsui. It's very normal, right? Very normal for an animal as it's wandering along to simply step on something and cause damage. Whereas shein, not very normal, right? It's a bit more unusual, right? Perhaps the owner was a bit more surprised, and therefore, perhaps one might suggest that the owner shouldn't be liable. So therefore, they're dissimilar in that regard. Shein hazekamotzu v'lo rei hashein sheyesh hanar lehazeko kirei haregel shein hanar lehazeko. And now we have we flip it round. Shein is dissimilar from regel. Why? Again, for the same reason. When an animal eats something, it gains benefit. Whereas regel, an animal walking along and accidentally damaging something, doesn't gain any benefit from it. Right, and therefore, each one, as we said earlier, has a reason why it may have been liable, why the other one wasn't, and therefore they're each independent of each other. They each have their own separate source. Okay, so that's rereading the Mishnah. Now we come back to our question, which we just mentioned, which is what about Keren? Right. So now, very good. So now we've swapped out Keren for Regel, and Shur is referring to Regel. Mava is referring to Shane, but what about Keren? How has that disappeared? The Keren, my Shire, why is that, where is that included? Keshehizik, Chov HaMazik. So the same answer, the Gemara says, it's included in the catch-all, right? Keren's included in the catch-all that we have later. La'asuye Keren. V'lisni b'hadei, same question again. Why does Keren not deserve to have its own specific mention, according to Shmuel? Ah, so now the Gemara concludes, Bermuodin or semi concludes Bermuodin mitchiloson komairi. So it says the Mishnah, when it listed those four, was referring to things which are what we called muad from the beginning, i.e., the owner is fully responsible from the very first time that they cause damage. Batamin ulvasoif muadin lo komari, things which begin as a tam, which are only partially liable at the beginning and only later become fully liable, that the Mishnah is not referring to. So again, we come back to our chatzi nezek. We come back to the fact that an animal that causes damage initially only pays half damage if it causes damage, and therefore. And therefore that wasn't included in the four, right? According to Shmuel, Keren simply was not included in the four that are mentioned in the Mishnah. Rather, it's just included in this catch-all of Keshehizik Chav Hamazik L'Shalim. When something causes damage, then it's liable to pay, and therefore that's basically the conclusion. Or sort of, I would say, a stopping point at this point with regards to the opinions of Rav and Shmuel. Shmuel, we've basically explained the sort of the internal logic of Shmuel's reading of the Mishnah, and that's why Shmuel didn't follow Rav's opinion. He has his sort of way of packaging the Mishnah nicely. The four are referring to animal damages, the four are referring to muad damages, damages which are liable fully from the beginning, and therefore Shur is referring to regel, referring to an animal walking. Bur is obviously referring to a pit, person digging a pit, which we haven't talked much about. The Maver is referring to an animal eating, and Hever is referring to, Aish is referring to somebody lighting a fire and causing damage in that way. And those are the four. The Mishnah includes as a side point Keren, just simply in the catch-all of any damages that are caused by an animal, and therefore an animal goring would also be included in that. So that's all within the opinion, as I said, of Shmuel. Now we're going to have to flip that around and figure out why Rav reads the Mishnah in a slightly different way. Okay, any questions or comments before we go on. Okay. Fine. So that's the opinion of Shmuel. Now we flip it around. So now we're next to where Tosfos has the big word lemechashvei, and we're sort of midway along that line. Ushmuel, for the last word on the line is lo, and the two words before that is Ushmuel. Ushmuel, for Shmuel's opinion, my timer lo omar karav. What was the opinion that? What was the reason? Sorry, that Shmuel didn't follow the opinion of Rav. Right? Why didn't he say simply that that mav'er refers to a person, to human damages? So omar lecha, he says as follows. Rav would respond, isal kadaitach adam. Hokatani Seifa, right? If you say that, this is Shmuel now saying. So this is if we're saying that Maveh is referring to human damages, but we've already got that mentioned elsewhere, right? Not in our Mishnah, but in a later Mishnah or a later part to the Mishnah. Unclear exactly where the divisions when the divisions of the Mishnah came in and who divided them up. Sometimes you have a Mishnah which is divided up differently in the Gemara from what it is in our printed Mishnais. So here we have the Gemara saying that Adam Hokatani Sefer, it teaches explicitly later on in the Mishnah. So that's later on in our chapter. That is on what do we have? Tesvav Omud Beis. So that's 15b. Later on 15b says as follows in a Mishnah. Shor HaMuad, it lists again other types of damages. Shor HaMuad v'shor HaMazik b'rishus HaNizak. Sorry, so an animal that gores in the property or of the damaged, v'ha'adam, and a human being, i.e., a person who causes damage. So therefore, we have that explicitly mentioned, right? We have a person explicitly mentioned later on. So Shmuel's saying, clearly, our Mishnah is not including damages done by a person because that's explicitly mentioned in a later Mishnah. We're listening to Rashi. So the Mishnah wants to know, okay, very nice, but why wasn't Adam included in this Mishnah, right? Why didn't it say it in our initial list? So he says, Benizke Momon Komairi, Benizke Gufo Lo Komairi. So this is talking about damage that is caused by property. This is about damage that's caused by a person sort of via an intermediary or through something that they own or something that is not the person directly. Nizke Gufo is a separate category, is a sort of fundamentally separate thing, and therefore was not included in this list. This list only includes things which are what they call Nizke Momon, which are damage caused by property of a person or by something that you are responsible for. I'm really putting words into it. A lot of this is part of the big debates that the Rishonim have as to whether you're liable because you own it or whether you're liable because you're required to look after it. It's a subtle difference that we've mentioned in the past. But the point is that when I cause damage myself, that's a different thing altogether. When I cause damage myself is entirely separate, and therefore says Rav in response, or we sort of put the words into his mouth, Rav would have said that that's why the Mishnah Shmuel would have said that's why the Mishnah is not including human damages over here. It's only including damages that are done by a person's property.
Rabbi, can I ask a question? Rabbi?
Yes, please.
A question. I can understand the need to see, for example, if it's an animal, who controls it. So you can trace back to the person who would be liable for the damages. But once the damage has occurred, why do we simply not just look at the extent and the value of the damage rather than whether it was caused by trampling or eating or whatever? Does that minutiae really matter that much when we're trying to say, damage was caused, we know where that cause emanated from, and now we can assess what that damage is worth.
So the
why this distinction, this minute distinction?
If I'm understanding you correctly, you'll tell me if I answer the question. Each category has its own specific exemptions and rules which apply to it. So Keren is obviously the famous one, which we've discussed, where if an animal gores, you're only liable half damages the first three times. But Regular and Chain also have their own specific exemptions. So that's why it's important for us to know which categories where it falls into, right? When an animal, let's take the example the Gemara used, right? If an animal runs at another one and bites it, right?
Yeah.
Neshicha, as the Gemara referred to it, that falls under the category of Keren. That doesn't fall under the category of Shane, right? Even though it was done with a tooth, it falls under a different category, and therefore it's liable in a different way. It's liable in a different way. So that's why it's important to know the difference. So
is the purpose really saying this is the damage, but these are the areas that would mitigate the extent of the damage?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, it's just a different category.
No, Rabbi, isn't it more fundamental than that? It's the difference between liability on the one hand, and then what Andy's talking about is quantum on the other. So before you can move to quantum, you've got to establish liability. So what we're looking at here is liability.
You mean whether a person... I thought Andy was referring to the former, but okay.
No, I think he's saying, why do we bother? Why are we looking at the minutiae of liability? Why don't we get on to looking at quantum? And it's because they're two very different things.
I.e. the animal, the owner simply would not be responsible for,
if it was gored, but it was only the second time this animal had gored, then there wouldn't be any liability.
Or you'd be partially liable.
Or partially liable, it'd be different, but that's a liability issue, it's not a quantum issue.
Right, yes.
The liability issue, I comprehend, I understand that connectivity that's required. But as I say, it just seemed to me that simply what we're then saying afterwards, it is rather than pay full damages, there in each category there are mitigants of saying actually there's only half damage, etc., etc. And it seems to me that it's somehow a get out for the original owner, say, of the animal or whatever, by saying, well, look, this is the first time it ever happened. How can you hold me liable? But my argument would be actually, look, we can see the damage. The damage has occurred. We can quantify it. So why are we looking at these mitigants to say actually there's only half damages or whatever?
But the question is how the damage was occurred. How did the damage occur, right? And depending on how it occurred is significantly, it's not just about the first time. It's a question of, did the animal intentionally cause... Let's just take the classic example of one ox goring another. Did the animal intentionally cause this damage, or was it? Let's just say we're dealing with a small ox, and it was simply running in that direction and didn't happen to notice the animal and just sort of trampled it on its way. So that's a different. As we're saying, I think fundamentally sort of changes the liability rather than whether. I don't think it's the owner's argument. I think it's about the courts trying to investigate what actually occurred and figuring out what actually happened and whether the person is liable in this case or not.
So you're saying, Rabbi, that in effect that suppose two different accidents occurred that resulted in the same monetary value of damage, it would matter how they occurred.
Right. But that's
It's not just the case of the quantum. I think that's what you mean by quantum, is it?
Right.
Monetary value of compensation. You need to establish also how.
What were the circumstances?
Yeah. that's what I refer to as liability. So you can't really move on to quantum until you've looked at liability. And only after you've determined that there's liability, that's when you ask the question about quantum. So it is a logical way to progress it. But I mean that's not to say that Andy's question isn't a very good one.
as to why that seems, why you're not responsible for
each. Correct.
Yes.
Why
yes.
should go? Why should it be that there is a, you know, you have to count the number of times the animal's done the damage.
Right. Before. Yeah. So that's something we've touched upon, I think, in every single shir so far, but we haven't actually got to where the Gemara actually discusses the details of it. So we do have to come back to that one. But yes, in principle, that's a very good question. And by the way, we haven't even talked about the other exemptions. So I forget them. I think if I remember correctly, that the that Shane is exempt in public domain. I don't remember exactly the details. Anyway, we'll come back to where they where each of the others have their own particular exemptions as well. So again, even between Shane and Regel, we're sort of focusing a lot on Keren, on the Goring, but Shane and Regel also have their own exemptions, which the other one does not share. I think we did have a Rashi which sort of alluded to them earlier, but I don't remember it offhand, and the Gemara will clarify later on. So that's in terms of these three, right? And now back into this debate, Rav and Shmuel. So we've been, as I said, trying to read back into the Mishnah. What are the different categories? So Rav read the Mishnah his way. Shmuel, we then sort of spent time trying to figure out why Shmuel doesn't follow that. And we said that Shmuel is saying that really the Mishnah, our Mishnah, is focusing on damages done by a person's animal, or done by a person's property, really, right? Because we included fire and pit in that as well. And therefore, that's why it didn't include Adam. Now we're back into Rav's opinion. So now we want to know, according to Rav, right? Same question. V'Rav Nami Hokatani Adam B'Sefer. He also has this later Mishnah, which explicitly mentions Adam, which explicitly mentions damage done by a person themselves. So therefore, why doesn't he include? Why does he think our Mishnah Mav is referring to Adam? Omer lecha Rav, ahu lemechashve b'hadei muodinu. Sorry, b'hadei muodin hu da'asa. Right. So now, when it's intentional damage, right? When the person damages intentionally, then that is referring to that's what's included in our Mishnah, right? B'hadei muodin hu da'asa. That's talking about a muod type damage. Whereas accidental damage is going to be slightly different. Now, he's still going to be liable, as we'll come back to later on, but what he's saying is that it's referring to something slightly different. So, so what does it mean, lohari, in this case, right? What does it mean that they are different, they're fundamentally different from each other, where we had this lohari, this one, kahari, that one? So, hochi ka'omar. So now we have to reread the Mishnah according to Rav. Lo ra'i hashor shemashalim es hakofer kiri'i hodom she'eino mashalim es hakofer. So it says ashor, when an animal does damage, so they have to pay an extra an extra part to their damages. Whereas a person, we'll come back to what exactly that means, right? In which case does an animal have to pay extra damages? Kiri ha'adam she'ein mishalim es ha'kofer, whereas a human being doesn't pay this kofer, this penalty. It's like an extra penalty, okay? As I said, the specific case which this is referring to. V'lo ra'i ha'adam, and now we have the reverse, and a person has a specific leniency, or stringency, really. When a person causes damage, they have to pay four extra categories, whereas the animal does not have to pay these four extra categories. Okay, so what are these four extra categories? And what is the kofer? What is the double damage that an animal has to pay? So this is referring now to a case of causing damage to a human being, right? So let's say you cause damage to, let's say your animal causes damage to a human being, or let's say a person causes damage to a human being. So what's the halacha? So the halacha is as follows: if an animal, let's say a bull gores a person and kills that person, so not only do they have to pay the damages, right? They actually have to pay a kofer as well. They have to pay a penalty charge in addition to the damages and pay double over and above, right? And whereas a human being, right, this is actually a very important principle, which we could spend a long time talking about. Maybe we'll do it next year because it's a really big topic in and of itself. Whereas a human being has a specific exemption in this case, okay? Human being has a specific exemption. If a person kills another person, you don't pay the penalty charge, right? You just pay the base damage because I might be incorrect here, but let me just, I think that this is referring to what we call, what's referred to as Kim Le Bidarabamine. Let me just double check that before I confuse everybody. I think this is referring to that. Yeah, okay, yes, it is. Okay, just making sure. Before I confuse everybody. Okay, so there's a very important principle, which, as I said, we could spend a long time talking about it. Maybe we'll spend a bit of time next time sort of figuring out some of the details of it. But for now, just to lay out the bare bones, Kim Le Bidarabamine basically means that if a person makes themselves liable for two things at the same time, that you're only actually liable for the more stringent of the two. So one of the other classic examples that comes up is let's say a person intentionally draws on. Let's say a person intentionally sets fire to a field on Shabbos, right? So the person is actually liable to the death penalty for Shabbos, right? Very strict rules when it comes to keeping Shabbos. And therefore, since they're liable for that significant crime, so the punitive damages are pushed aside or don't get off the ground. That's part of the discussion when it comes to Kim Le Bidarabamine. As I say, it's a big, big topic which we could perhaps spend time figuring out and understanding a little better. But in principle, what the Gemara is referring to here is the fact that when a human being, in this case, would not pay the punitive damages, would pay basic damages, but not pay punitive damages. Why? Because they are, again, if a person kills another person, and they are also liable to the death penalty, and therefore the Gemara is referring to this. I think the Gemara is actually going to knock this out because the logic of it is a little bit challenging. But I think Tosus questions this a little bit actually. But in principle, what the Gemara is saying is that an animal here has an element of a greater financial responsibility when it comes to human damages than a human being does. And it's, as I said, it's not really a simple. It's not a simple one is lenient and one is stricter, and therefore maybe it doesn't work out quite so well. But in principle, what the Gemara is trying to do is saying that therefore one could not be learnt from the other. Therefore, we seem to have an element of financial damages of this animal causing damage, which is worse in a sense, which is actually costing the owner more than if they themselves would have done the damage. Okay, so that's one side. That's only one side of the coin. Then we flipped it around and we say that human damages have an element of strictness, or you end up paying more than the animal damages, in which case. So let's say a human causes damage to another person, or an animal causes damage to another person. So if a human who causes damage to another person is not just required to pay the damage caused, but is also required to pay what the Gemara refers to here as arba'a devarim. There are four extra categories. So the first category is nezek, is damage, right? But then there is what we call, hopefully we'll get to this in, I don't know, months or years' time, but much, much later on, towards the end of Baba Kama, in chapter 8, I think it is. I don't remember I don't have the full Gemara here. I think it's called Perek HaChovel. HaChovel means someone who causes damage to another. And there, the Gemara sort of fleshes out all the details of a person repaying four extra categories, which are called Ripui, Sheves, Sa'ar, and Boshes. So Ripui is the medical bills, right? The medical bills of the person. Sheves is the time of work that they have to, right? You're liable to pay. Again, each one has its own details that comes with it, but in principle, a person pays the medical bills, you pay the time off work, right? The shevis, sa'ar, the pain caused. How exactly is that figured out? Again, Gemara discusses details of that later on. And boshes, the embarrassment that's caused by this, by this damage that's caused. Let's say a person loses an eye, you know, as a result of somebody else. So, what about the fact that they now feel a level of embarrassment, or they sort of feel self-conscious by their different look now? So that's again included within the extra damage. So these four extra categories are only with regards to human beings causing that damage. When it comes to an animal causing that damage, you don't pay all those extra four categories. You only pay the basic level of damage of nezek. So therefore, okay, all we're really getting from here is the fact that shur seems to have an element which is stronger than human damages, right? Animal damages seems to have an element which is stronger than human damages. And the reverse, human damages seems to have a stronger element than animal damages. So that's basically Rav reading back into the Mishnah his opinion. Lo hari hashur kahari hamaveh. When an animal causes damage and a maveh, i.e. Adam, causes damage, neither one is like the other, and therefore we need to have separate verses, we need to have separate sources for each one. Atzada shavah shabohen. So now coming back to the Gemara, about seven, eight lines from the end, nine lines from the end, Hatzada shava shabahen shedarkon lahazik, that they cause damage. Hatzada shava shabahen shedarkon lahazik, that they cause damage. V'chishor, now the Gemara wants to know a slightly separate. Sorry, I should stop. Any questions before we go on? Okay. So now the Gemara asks, v'chishor darko lahazik, is it really normal for an animal to cause intentional damage? Right? Is that really its derech? So the Gemara responds, b'mu'ad. Yes, with a mu'ad, when it comes to an animal that's already shown to have a history, of causing damage, then it does. U'mu'ad darko lahazik, and is it even normal for a mu'ad to cause damage, right? Yes, it's true. We've established now that the owner is liable to pay full damages. They perhaps should have watched over it, but would you call it derech? Would you call it normal for the animal to sort of charge for no reason, charge at another one for no reason? So kiven de'ayid, since it's already done it a few times, urchehu, it's normal. Now the Gemara asks the reverse question. Adam, darko lahazik, is it normal for a human being to cause damage, right? Do human beings wantonly cause damage? The Gemara gives the answer, b'yoshein. We're talking about a sleeping person. Sleeping person, right? You're very very easy to cause damage, right? You sort of flail your limbs around, and therefore you're likely to cause damage. So now the Gemara again refers to that. Yoshin, Darak and Hazik, is it normal for a sleeping person to cause damage? So kiven to Kayef Upashit. I already gave the game away. Since it sort of moves around a lot, since a person moves around a lot, Urchehu, that's considered to be normal. Oshmiroson Olecho, and therefore a person is should be wary, you know, should be conscious of that potential level of damage. Adam shmiras gufa olavhu, and therefore a person is also again responsible for their animal, responsible for themselves, and therefore that's the tzad hashoveh. That's the similarity between the two. So we started by talking about the difference between the two. Each one is unique. And then we ended. And then we clarified that they each have a tzad hashoveh as well, as the Mishnah had pointed out. That tzad hashoveh, the similarity was that they're both normal to cause damage. We talked about what does normal mean. So we said each one is normal in certain cases to cause damage, and that's the similarity between the two. I wanted to add one other point, but I think we have a question before I do. No question, comment? No. Fine. What was I going to? Oh, yes, Yoshin. Okay, so whether a person is, the fact that a person is liable when they're asleep. I'm wondering if we'll come across this later on. Okay, I think maybe we'll talk about it. All right. Yeah, the Mishnah later on talks about whether a person is, to what extent is a human being liable, and actually says there's no such thing as onus when it comes to human damages. So a person is liable to pay bin er, bin yoshen, whether they're awake, whether they're asleep, and a person should always be conscious. But again, we know there are, or we do have some cases in which we do seem to have exemptions. So that's a big debate amongst the Rishonim. I thought it came up here, but maybe it doesn't. Oh yeah, so this in this Tosfos? No, it's not. Okay. All right, I think it comes up a bit later on where we try and figure out exactly what sort of cases a person potentially could be here we go. Okay, yeah. So the third Tosus from the bottom. If you want to, we could just sort of briefly glance at it from the big word kivan or kavan towards the bottom of 4a. Towards the bottom of 4a. So he talks about this person flailing about in their sleep, right? And then he quotes a Yerushalmi. So we have a Jerusalem Talmud as well, or Israeli Talmud. Wasn't written specifically in the city of Yerushalayim. So he quotes a case from there. De Yoshin lo michayev ela kashehishkiv atzmo eitzel hakelim. You're only responsible when you're sleeping if you literally go to sleep next to this person's ming vase, right? If you don't put yourself to sleep next to it, then you're not actually considered to be held responsible for the fact that you caused damage. Aval im yoshin v'heviu kelim etzlo. Let's say I went to sleep and you decided to put it down next to me. So that's not my responsibility. I was fast asleep. That's your responsibility. That's what the Yerushalmi seems to say. Aval im yoshin v'heviu kelim etzlo v'shivron, and then you smash them. Potter, then you're exempt. Dehem gormu lo, because you caused it to happen. V'chein im haya yoshin v'halach chaviru. And similarly, if I'm already asleep and a person comes and sleeps near enough to me that when I roll over, I give them a big punch across the face and again cause them damage, then v'hezeku, you cause them damage. The first one is the person who is sleeping first is exempt. The person who went to sleep later, who chose to sort of put themselves in the line of fire, as you will, is actually the one who is responsible. So there's a big debate as to whether when the Mishnah says a person is required, even in a case of onus, even in a case of how would you translate onus? We would say perhaps sort of total lack of culpability. But there's a big debate as to whether there's a limit to that. Perhaps some Rishonim say that onus gomor, if it's a total lack of culpability. So basically, yes, it's true that in principle, a human being is almost always responsible for all of their actions, but there is a limit to that. Tosus seems to be going down a slightly different route. Tosus seems to be saying that it's only when there is someone else to blame, as it were, right? So what some refer to as hashiat hanizak, which means basically it's the fault of the person who was damaged. So yes, it's true, you're the one who has lost your vase, but that's you who put it there, and therefore, since it's your mistake, therefore I'm not responsible. But otherwise, in general cases, a person has a much, much higher level of responsibility for themselves than they do for their property. So even in cases of accident, a person would be responsible, but perhaps an extreme accident, maybe not so much. Maybe not so much. Okay. I've got a couple of minutes trying to figure out if this is a good place to stop or not. We'll keep going for a little bit. Why not? Ola tameich. Let's see if we get to a good start. Okay, yeah, let's go a little bit more. See if we can make it over the page. I think there's a good place to stop over the page. Ola tameich, according to your reasoning, so your opinion that mave is referring to shame, right? So mave is not referring to a person. Hodatoni karno arba avos nezikin ve'odom echod mehem. So Padatani Karana are, the fact that it includes Karen, right? The fact that Karen is included, now we have four head categories, and Adam is one of them, right? Now Adam Shmiras Gufo, Adam Shmiras Gufo Olav, Ela Kid Omale Rabbi Avahu. So now we respond with the opinion of Rabbi Avahu as follows. Because Tony Adam Shmiras Gufo Olav, Hachanami Tony Adam Shmiras Gufo Olav. So what's the Gemara trying to say over here? I'm slightly confused myself. Okay, so the Gemara is basically questioning the language of the Mishnah according to Rav's opinion. Right, so according to Rav's opinion, when the Gemara says Arba Avos Nezikin v'Adam Echad Mehem, right? So a person is now included as one of these four head categories of damages. So Adam Shmiras Gufa Olavu, right? Surely a person's responsibility is on them, right? And therefore, when we say Shadarkan Lahazik Ushmirosan Alecha, what exactly is that referring to? So rather the Gemara responds, must mean as Rabbi Avahu says. So Rabbi Avahu was of the opinion, he had a slightly different brisa that said Adam Shmiras Gufa Olav, that this is a person who is responsible for themselves, as well as just the financial damages, as well as referring to the Mamono Shmira. What was the exact language that the Mishnah used? Shadarkan Hazak Ushmiros on Alecha. They are normal Ushmiros on Alecha, and you're responsible for them. So Hachanami Tani Adam Shmiras Gufa Olav. It's referring to a person who is responsible for their own actions as well as for the responsibility of their possessions as well, or of their sort of property, of the animal, of the fire, of the pit, all those sorts of things within the Mishnah as well. So as we said, so all of this has been really this part of this debate between Rav and Shmuel. We do have a little bit more of it to finish off, but I think that's a good place to stop for this week, and we'll pick up. I don't see any reason why we shouldn't be back in 2 weeks' time, if everyone's around.